This morning, we continue looking at lessons for life as we think about the new school year that's beginning or has already begun for many. And the Gaston County school system starts tomorrow, so certainly it is real for lots of people that tonight is the night that you get ready to go back to school bright and early in the morning. We've been talking about lessons for life, and we've incorporated that with the items that we have brought to give to our partner schools. So when we brought earbuds, we talked about learning to hear and listen to other people. When we brought sanitizer and Clorox wipes, we talked about how we are invited to be made clean and be made clean, especially in our relationships as we offer forgiveness to other people. And today we brought highlighters with us, and so we're going to talk about God's Word. And I invite you, if you will, to turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read it to you from the first Bible that I received when I was in the third grade. It's a little larger than the Bibles that they received this morning, but nonetheless, this is the first Bible that I received. So I invite you to hear from Psalm 119. I'll begin at verse 97. Will you hear now God's Word? Oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all the day. The commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep the precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep thy word. I do not turn aside from thy ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So I did receive that first Bible from the church when I was in the third grade at Cullowhee United Methodist Church. And it was, you know, an honor to receive the Bible from your church. But it's also a bit of a scary task because here you get this big book, and in this case, this really big book. You get this book and you start to open it up and you see all of these words and you wonder, what in the world? So it often takes a life of Christian education, a life of Christian education in Sunday school classes and disciple Bible study classes and youth group and small group Bible studies in order for these words to become part of who we are. It sort of reminds me of the story that Brooke read for us this morning from the book of Acts, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip overhears him reading. And Philip goes up to this eunuch and says, "Do you understand what you're reading? I mean, do you get it? Do you know what you're reading out of the Bible?" And the eunuch says to Philip, "How can I understand unless someone teaches me? How can I understand unless someone explains to me?" And so Philip sat alongside of the eunuch and over a conversation, God's word came to life. The good news that's found within God's word came to life. And the eunuch had a life-changing experience. They passed this puddle of water, if you remember Brooke reading. They passed this puddle of water and the eunuch jumped out and was ready to be baptized. His life was changed. Because somebody took the time to help him understand the words of this book. When I think of my Bible, When I think of other people's Bible, the staff and I were talking about how to, you know, draw together all of these school supplies with the different scripture passages. And so Tony and I were having this conversation about highlighters, because that was today's school supply, about highlighters and Bibles. And both of us shared something in common. We remembered looking at our grandparents' Bibles, in particular our grandmother's Bibles, and the highlights that they had done on the pages of the Bible, on verses and words that were important to them. So when we think about a highlighter does exactly that. It draws our attention to specific things. It's used in a way to highlight, to illumine, to bring to life something that we want to remember, something that we want to emphasize. The first highlighter was created by Dr. Fran Hahn in 1963. It was produced by Carter's Ink Company and used the trademark High, H-I, lighter, L-I-T-E-R, High lighter. Now we most commonly call these highlighters, highlighters. And Sharpie somehow seems to have help me. Well, I don't know what y'all just said, but whatever. You get the point. Sharpie seems to be in charge of producing all of these, monopoly, that's the word y'all said, producing all of these highlighters, but there are any number of companies that produce highlighters, and they've become quite necessary in our school system. And that was the thing that Sherwood Elementary said they most needed this year, because as the students are reading, they use highlighters in order to highlight sections of the text that they need to remember so that they're able to find the main ideas, the main points, words, so that as they're expanding their vocabulary, maybe they're highlighting a word that they need to later go and look up and try to figure out what it means. So the highlighter is used to encourage reading in our school system. It's in use to help people remember certain parts of text. So when I think about Bibles and I think about schools and I think about highlighters, there's lots of opportunities in order to illumine parts of the text that we read. This morning we encountered Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses in it. The longest chapter in the Bible. And in fact, it's pretty close to the middle of the Bible. I don't know if you learned this technique when somebody sat with you to help you unpack your Bible. If you take your hand and pretty much go right to the middle of the Bible, you hold it this way and right to the middle, you pretty much land up in the book of Psalms. And right in the middle of the book of Psalm, we find Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. All right, so now the Christian educator part of me now has to say, now the right-hand side, if you take that right-hand side and divide it in half, you know where you land? You land almost right in the New Testament, right in the Gospels. So there, if you're ever supposed to be finding a passage of Scripture, there's your cheat lesson for the day. Open it up to the middle and you can get to the book of Psalms. Take the right-hand side, open it to the middle, and you're pretty much right at the New Testament. Anyways, back to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And the longest chapter in the Bible is all about God's Word. In fact, if we knew Hebrew, and some of you may know Hebrew, I don't know Hebrew, but if we knew the Hebrew alphabet, we would know that the Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible, the 176 verses, is really divided into 22 sections. And each of those 22 sections begin with another Hebrew letter. Throughout Psalm 119, over and over again, we have references to God's Word. In fact, there's hardly a verse in this entire chapter that doesn't somehow reference God's Word. And the way in which that is explained is through these kinds of words: law, testimony, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgment, word, and ordinances. In the verses that we read today, we read some of those words to explain God's Word or the name for God's Word. We read law, commandments, precepts, ordinances. So when I think about what we read, there are a couple of things that come to mind. The first verse that we read was verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. So there's something about God's word that's supposed to be with us all day long. So we don't just receive these words of the Bible in order to carry us through fleeting moments in our life. It's something that's supposed to be a part of our daily life. We're supposed to meditate on it all day long to incorporate God's word into our daily living. In verse 98, we read that it is always with us. God's word is always with us. We are invited to meditate, to think on it all day long. And God's word brings to us wisdom and understanding. Four times in these verses from 97 to 105 that we read, four times there's this sense of wisdom and understanding that God's word brings to us. Wisdom and understanding, that place that anchors us in our life, the place that helps us to navigate life. When we receive wisdom and understanding from God's word, it says that it even holds our feet back from evil. Verse 101. We've received so much wisdom from God's word that our feet are held back from doing evil. Our feet are held back from doing harm. We are invited to make God's word part of our daily life, and it gives us wisdom and understanding in such a way that we can navigate all of life. There are two different descriptions in these verses that we read that God's word, that helped to sort of visualize for us God's word. It says that God's word is sweeter than honey to our mouth. Now, you know, if you taste some honey or you taste something that's super sweet, that taste kind of lingers with you for a long time. And usually when you taste something sweet, you want something more. You want more and more and more. In fact, those of you who are doing Whole30 right now and you've eliminated sugar from your diet, you know how prior to that elimination, how your body was craving that sugar and wanting more and more and more of it. So here when we read that God's word is sweeter than honey, it's to remind us that as we digest God's word, as we take it in, we want more and more and more of it. It helps to guide and direct our daily lives. The next sort of analogy that we find in this text is a familiar passage of scripture, and Connie read it to the young people as they received their Bibles. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light that illuminates a space, that gives us direction, that helps us to navigate life, that helps us to get where we are going, that helps us to find our way even on a troubling and challenging and difficult day. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's that place of wisdom and understanding. Sweeter than honey all day long. We want more and more of it. A light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The wisdom and understanding that guides us throughout life. I think at the end of your pews or at the end of some of the pews are these little tiny blue cards. I invite you to kind of take those if they're close by to you and pass them out to the people that are nearest to you. I ask our staff if they would share with me what is one of the highlights for them from God's word. What is that one passage or that one scripture that sort of is their go-to spot? Their place where they know their wisdom and understanding of God's word, where it anchors them, where it guides them, and where it directs them. And these are the verses that they shared. Some of them you may even look at the reference and it seems familiar to you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 13, that passage about love. I invite you this week to share in our highlights, and perhaps these highlights can be things that also help to remind you and anchor you in God's word. For me, 11 years ago, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital because my water had broke much too soon, and the doctors were trying to delay the delivery of the twins. And the eve of the night before the twins were born, I was anchoring myself in God's word. It's where my strength was coming from. It was where I was gaining wisdom and understanding. It was sweeter than honey. I needed more and more of it in order that my path would stay lit and clear. Because I knew that babies weren't supposed to be born at 29 weeks. And I knew that it was a real possibility that they may be born. And so I anchored myself in two chapters from the book of Psalms, and you find them there, Psalm 139 and Psalm 46. And literally I read those chapters over and over and over again. They became my prayer. They became the words of my heart. And they reminded me, Psalm 139, that God was knitting together two precious lives within me, and that they were going to be beautiful and wonderful creations of His. And Psalm 46 says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." In the midst of the anxiousness and the stress and the strain, God's word anchored me to be still and to know that I am God. So when I have a go-to verse, those chapters are my go-to place, my place that reminds me of wisdom and understanding that help me to navigate throughout life. And Ella and Maddie were born that particular night that I read those scriptures, and those scriptures continued to guide me, to direct me, and to hold me, and to keep me centered in the days that followed their birth. And in the 6 weeks that they spent in the NICU afterwards, I continued to read daily Psalm 139 and Psalm 46 because they anchored me. Wisdom and understanding, they became the highlight that I needed in order to navigate life. Friends, the question for us this morning is that we mark in our Bibles and we highlight all sorts of things. We underline things, we perhaps make notes, or maybe you're like me and you sticky note things all over the place. We mark our Bibles, but the question for us is, has our Bible marked our life? Has our Bible marked our life in such a way that when we face a difficult day, our strength, our hope, our promise comes from God and God's word? When we experience a joyful day and all is glorious and wonderful, does our joy and contentment and excitement come from God and God's word? How has God's word highlighted and changed our lives? Back to that Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, the Ethiopian eunuch encountered God's word through the book of Isaiah and through a conversation with Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch's life was radically changed. Has God's word radically changed your life? Has God's word left a highlight on you? In order that what the world around you sees is the love of God found through a relationship of Jesus Christ? Is the highlight that the world sees, wow, that person sure is grounded. I wonder where their strength comes from. Friends, may those highlights continue to abound in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.